Thanks for tuning in to the 14th episode of the Handmade with Heart podcast. On this episode, I interview Nicole from Crimson and Scarlet. We chat about selling on the Fair Wholesale website, why prep days are so important, and using social media to create additional income for your small business. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Handmade with Heart podcast. I'm your host, Dana, and I own the small business Scrappy Stitch. Have you ever wanted to know more about some of your favorite small businesses? Follow along as I interview other creative small business owners. We'll talk about getting started, what an average day for a creator is like, tips and tricks, and of course, everything is Handmade with Heart. Hey, Nicole, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm so excited to chat with you.
Me too. I know, we finally get to chat face to face instead of just on TikTok. So why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us how you got started.
My name is Nicole and my business is Crimson and Scarlet. I got started sewing about 7 years ago, maybe a little bit closer to 8. My sister gave me a sewing machine just like randomly. She was like, I got a new sewing machine. Would you like mom's old sewing machine? And at the time I wasn't interested really in sewing, but I was like, yeah, I'll take it. It's like a sentimental thing. Like, you know, my mom is still alive. But I still wanted it. It's a sewing machine from my childhood. So I was like, I'll take it and it'll just sit in, you know, my house somewhere. But then I was like looking at it and I was like, yeah, I could use like a wallet or something. So my very first project, I looked on Pinterest for a very simple wallet and I made that for myself. And I was like, this is fun. And my sister was quilting at the time. So I was like, well, I'll try some quilts. Like, I'll just make like one or two quilts. It'll be fine. So I made a couple of my friends' quilts. My friend, she was having twins. And so I made her two quilts for both the kids. And then my other friend had a baby like right after. And I made her daughter a quilt. And I just started making quilts for like all my friends. And eventually I was like, I really like doing this. It was surprising. I didn't think that I would really fall in love with sewing like I did, but I kind of did. And so I decided quickly that I didn't really like making quilts that much. So I started making bags. That's kind of how it all got started.
I was the same. I didn't think I would like sewing. And then I started just on a whim one day and just loved it and fell in love with it. So
Right. Yeah, it's addicting a little bit.
Yeah. So tell me how you got your shop name.
How I really got started with the business aspect is that my husband joined the Air Force. And he was going to Texas for 8 months to do all of his training. So it was just going to be me and my daughter, Ryan, together for almost a whole year. And so I wanted my business name to kind of reflect the time her and I spent together. So her middle name is Scarlet. So that's where that portion came from. And then I kind of just wanted the other half to just be like me. But also I didn't want it to be like two names because I didn't want it to seem like a dual partnership because it was really just me. So I was kind of workshopping it with my friends and someone suggested Crimson because I have red hair. So that's really how I came up with the name. So it's just kind of a combination of our two essences, I guess. And then that's how it came about.
Does someone else on social media have the same like username as you? Because I always see that in your comments.
Yeah, so it's actually really a large account too. They have like over 1 million followers and they have twins, like twin girls named, one's named Crimson and one is named Scarlet. So it's always very awkward when my videos on TikTok go a little bit viral because people are like, why is that your username? And I'm like, I'm not affiliated with these twins.
Right.
And I didn't know that until I joined TikTok and then people were commenting it and I kind of quickly found out. She's never said anything to me about it. I just get a lot of comments about it.
Yeah. You primarily sell everything online, right?
I do. Yeah. I'm on a lot of websites, actually. I have my own website, which is crimsonandscarlet.com. I still have an Etsy presence, and I also do wholesale through Fair.
Well, I wanted to ask you about that. How did you get started with the Fair wholesale website?
I don't remember. So I started doing wholesale last year. So it hasn't really even been that long. I don't remember how I found the website. I think it was probably just like I saw someone talking about it on TikTok, probably, and I just kind of checked it out. I had applied because you have to apply. It took so long for them to accept me, but I was eventually accepted, and it's been great so far. I really enjoy it. I get a, you know, not a ton of sales, but some sales, and
yeah,
you know, it's been great. I haven't had any bad experiences. So yeah. I really like it. Through Fair, I have sold to a bunch of brick and mortar places. It's so cool to think about my products being in like an actual store.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. I don't know anybody who uses Fair, so I was excited to talk to you about that to see how that was working
really?
Out. Because it sounds like a really cool website.
I just feel like it's really popular. Like I feel like it's the platform that you would sell wholesale on. There's a good amount of people on it. And mm-hmm. I'm surprised you don't know anyone that sells on there.
Yeah, I don't know anybody else that uses that, but I've seen it before and I know of it, but I know you need an account to sort of like browse online. So I never really looked any further than like the main page, you know? But yeah, how cool, because your stuff could be anywhere in any state, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I think the furthest that I've sold to is Australia. I've sold to a few shops in Australia, which is really, really cool. I just shipped out a box to Australia actually.
Oh, that's
full of
amazing.
Makeup bags.
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
You have a very distinct style with your bags. How would you describe your style?
I think I would go with earthy boho and then like sometimes florally. So like floral, earthy boho maybe. I love a good neutral. You know, I love textures and fabrics. I love, you know, like the rust and the tans and even some like jewel tones, like my emerald velvet. Makeup bag is like one of my best sellers. So I would say it's very earthy, boho-y, florally.
Where did you get the idea to make the little first aid pouches?
I first started doing those a while ago. And I actually think it was a custom order. I think it was a custom request, honestly. I think if I'm remembering correctly, someone asked me if I could make them a first aid bag. And I was like, yeah, sure. So I did. And then I like posted a picture of it. And I remember this particular picture on Instagram. This is when I was back only on Instagram. The picture got like over 200 likes, like people went crazy over it. And I was like, this is okay. This is really cool. and so I started making just like the small, like oily bags that only held four. And then they just had like the cross on the front. And then it kind of expanded from there. Those still sell really, really well.
They're cute. They are really cute.
Yeah, thank you.
Because I've never seen anything really like it, handmade, you know, like that.
I learned that the red cross that I was using on my first aid bags was trademarked. So I had to redesign my first aid bags because I didn't want to get in trouble with the red cross. And it sparked this whole debate on TikTok because people were like, it's not trademarked. And I'm like, yes. Actually,
yeah,
the Red Cross is, because like Etsy had been like taking people's listings down that had like the Red Cross on their first aid bags. So I had to do like a redesign. Like I took down all my Red Crosses. I still have people asking me to make them bags with Red Crosses on them. And I have to tell them no, mm-hmm. Like I'm not doing that anymore. And I don't want to run the risk. I'm not a lawyer or anything, so I don't know how much in trouble I would get, but I don't want to find out.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, absolutely.
I don't want to find out. Like, I'm just not going to do it anymore. It's fine.
Yeah. So what did you do to make them different? You changed the color.
Yeah. So the kind of like loophole to that is making the actual cross a different color. So mm-hmm. like now my bags are red. And there's a white cross in the middle. Well, it's like an ivory cross. And then I also have one that's a tan bag and the cross is black. So that's kind of like the loophole is that you just make the cross that, you know, anything other than red.
Yeah.
So someone told me that I could do like maroon, but I was like, no, that's too close for my liking. I'm just going to stick to no variations of red whatsoever.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to do any other color but red. That is fine.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah. So I had to take those off my website. And that was a bummer because they're really cute with the red cross and people really like them, but I'm not taking the chance.
Yeah. It is crazy to me how many people are on Etsy and they just don't understand copyright law. And I mean, they're blatantly selling stuff that
I know
it's going to get them in like real big trouble. Disney, no.
I know, especially Disney, man. I've heard that mouth is vicious.
Yeah.
I mean, they go after people and they don't care.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a part of it.
Yeah, me either. Do you do a lot of custom orders?
I do. When I first started, I was basically taking every custom order that I could get my hands on. But then as I kind of grew and kind of learned, I still take custom orders, but I am a little bit more picky about what I take because, you know, my thing is that if I have the hardware and the fabric and everything that I would need to make this custom order, then I'll gladly do it. But if it's anything outside of my kind of like my realm, I guess you could say, I typically won't take it. You know, I've had a lot of people ask me for like dog collars and other things that are very outside of what I currently do. And while I always appreciate people asking me to do things for them or like sew things for them, you know, there just comes a point where if I have to buy different hardware, you know, like say for like a dog collar, it's going to be really expensive. Right. Yeah. And then sometimes you have to buy hardware in packs of five. So now I have this hardware that I'm only using one mm-hmm. out of for this order. You know, it kind of makes it not worth it if you think about it in the long run. So I am picky about what custom orders I take. A lot of times the custom orders that I make also then make it into my shop and they become like really good sellers. That actually happened with my first aid boxy bags, like the big medicine bags with the four pockets on either side to hold prescription bottles. That was a custom order. Someone asked me if I could make that for them specifically. And I was like, yeah, sure. And then I made it and I put it on my website and it's a really good seller now.
Great. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And you make some of your own patterns too, don't you?
Some of them. I will buy patterns. I love supporting other small businesses. I typically will buy the patterns from other small designers and I really love doing that. If I need to make my own pattern for say a custom order or whatever, I will. And I have done that in the past.
Do you prefer patterns that come with the pattern to trace around or that just give you measurements to cut out?
It's a really good question. I'm more of a cut and measure type of person, mostly because of like a lot of bags, because I'm like a bag maker, it's a lot like of square patterns, right? And like, if you're going to give me a pattern piece that I have to like print out and cut out and like tape together, and it's going to be a square, like, just give me the measurements.
Right. I agree.
Like, don't make me print out a square. Just give me the measurements.
Yeah.
You know, but if it's like a silly pattern or like a curvature or like something that I can't recreate with a roller and a rotary blade, you know, fine, I'll cut it out. But I love patterns that are just measure and cut. I love it. Because taping patterns together is not my favorite thing to do.
You posted a video the other day talking about why prep days are so important. Tell me about that.
Oh my God, that video did so well. And mm-hmm. I was not expecting it to. That I think it's up to like over 40,000 views.
Wow, awesome.
Like, and it's still getting traffic. I'm like, oh my goodness. Like, I just thought that was a very silly video and people loved it.
Sometimes they do the best.
I had like all these orders. I was getting a little bit overwhelmed with just like my workload at that moment. And so I made this video just talking about how I take it an entire day just to prep, or at least I should. Like, I feel like I made this video to remind myself to like do this, honestly, because like I kind of get off track sometimes. I think it's really valuable to spend an entire day of your workday just cutting and interfacing and prepping your zipper and prepping your linings and doing all of the prep work of like everything that you want to get accomplished that week so that the next day you can sit at your sewing machine and just not move, right? You can essentially chain yourself to your sewing machine and just mm-hmm. crank things out. Sometimes I forget to do that. And it always makes me feel like, what are you doing right now, Nicole? Because it's so much more efficient to do it that way instead of kind of like cutting one thing, sewing it, cutting another thing, sewing it. You know, you tend to get a lot more done faster.
You are absolutely right. I do that too. And that has sped up my process so much by just spending a whole day prepping all the pattern pieces and then, you know, do all the next steps. I have like little bins of here's everything that I need to put together. Here's everything I need to cut out. And I just do it all in bulk.
It feels to me, if I'm not so like actually sewing, that I didn't have a very productive day. I'm always like, ugh. You know, like I didn't get much done today. I know, like taking an entire day to prep everything like physically hurts me because I'm like, oh man, I feel like I didn't get much done at all today. But then like in the long run, it actually is like really productive.
Yeah. I feel like I have nothing to show for my day. Like, oh, I just know. Put out a bunch of pattern pieces and they're all in a pile. Okay. But
yeah.
I saw on your website, you have some DIY kits. Tell me about those.
I had this idea at Christmas time to do a handmade holidays series on TikTok, which was going to be a couple, just like a couple episodes of like really easy DIY gifts to make for the holidays. And I was, you know, explaining how to make the thing and then like how to actually like bundle it as like a gift. I made a few videos and they're all so cute. And then I decided to add like an extra step of, well, if you want to make it yourself, here's this DIY kit that I'm going to put in my shop that you can purchase. And it did not do well.
Oh, no.
Like originally I had planned to do like a bunch of DIY kits and then like I put one in my shop and the video on TikTok didn't really do very well. And then like I didn't sell any and then it kind of like took the wind out of my sails. Yeah. And I was like, oh, you know what? Actually, forget it.
Yeah. I've definitely done that before too. I have spent a lot of time making things and then they never sell. And I'm like, oh. Such a bummer.
I know. It really discouraged me from like continuing to do it. Yeah. So like it was an idea that a little bit flopped, but you know, it happens.
Yeah.
You know, and you have to like just do things and sometimes they flop and sometimes, you know, it works out and that's how life works, I guess.
Yeah. I saw another video that you made about why you switched from Instagram to TikTok. Tell me a little bit about that.
So, oh man, it's such a bummer. Instagram bums me out so much. Instagram was like, was my thing. I was doing really well on there. I was gaining a lot of followers. And then all of a sudden, like, I don't know what happened or what they were doing, but they changed a bunch of stuff and my account just like froze. I wasn't gaining any followers. I was losing more followers than I was gaining. So I was like not growing at all on Instagram. My sales were dropping. My posts were getting like almost no likes. I wasn't getting any traction on my reels. I was like, what is happening? And around this time, people were talking about TikTok. And I was like, well, maybe I should try on TikTok. I was already on TikTok. I was like, you know, watching videos. I had started making just kind of like everyday life videos. For a moment, I thought that I was going to just make content on TikTok, just kind of personal TikTok, kind of TikToks about like my life as like a mom and stuff. And then I posted a TikTok about sewing and it got a lot of views. And I was like, oh, this is crazy. Because prior to that, my other videos, they were getting like, it was like nothing. It was nothing at all. And so I posted about sewing for the first time over there and it got a lot of traction. And then I got a bunch of sales and I was like, oh boy. So I started posting more often over on TikTok. Mm-hmm. And I was also posting those over to Instagram. They still weren't doing well. So I started gaining a following over there and I was posting more often. And now I'm really just on TikTok. Like I'm posting it into Instagram. I made a new Instagram account to like see if I could, I don't know. I'm so frustrated with Instagram. Oh, it makes me so mad. So now I'm primarily posting on TikTok, kind of taking those videos and posting them everywhere too, like Pinterest and Instagram and YouTube shorts, but for the most part, just TikTok. And I've amassed a pretty decent following and I'm really enjoying it. So, you know, we'll see what happens over there.
Yeah. How do you think you grew your following on TikTok? Do you think it was doing the TikTok lives?
No, I don't. Because I didn't start doing lives until kind of recently. I would say like maybe within the past 8 months. But I think I really grew by just doing really relatable sewing content. And also I was posting some tutorials, like sewing tutorials, and those get so much traffic.
Yeah, mine do too.
Yeah, like the tutorials are really where it's at. I think it was mostly the tutorials and a few of my like just super relatable sewing content videos got like, you know, a bunch of traffic, and then I got a lot of followers. But no, I don't think it was too much the lives. I mean, you do get a good amount of followers from going live, but it's nothing like the amount of followers that you get if you have like a video that does really well.
There is definitely a different audience from TikTok to Instagram to Facebook. I mean, you can tell there's certain things I won't even post on Instagram because I'm like, this is more a TikTok video, a TikTok vibe. And
yes, it's just, I made a video about that actually recently because I have that same mental block where there's a lot of videos on TikTok that I just can't bring myself to post over on Instagram because like, I feel like it'd be weird. And I don't know what that is.
I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah. So like 90% of all my content is on TikTok, and like most of it, I can't even bring myself to put on Instagram. I don't know. I think maybe it's because I like know more people over there personally. I don't know. I don't know what it is.
I think some of the sound bites that people use on TikTok, you know, we see them over and over and over because we're on TikTok a lot. And so we get like what the joke is or whatever. And then if you take that and put it on Instagram, they're like, what is she doing? Why is she saying that? Like, where's that voiceover coming from?
Yes, I think that might be it because the trends on TikTok, like you're right, like we're seeing all the trends. We're kind of like on the inside of the joke, and then putting that on Instagram, it would be weird because they'd be like, what is this?
Yes.
I think you're right about that.
Do you have a business account on TikTok?
No, I don't. I probably should. But I don't.
Well, I don't know because I have a business account and I don't get to use half of the fun sounds or certain music because it's all copyrighted. So if you have a business account, it's very different than having just a regular, what do they call it? Just a regular creator account, I think.
Creator account. Yeah.
And I think I might switch back because
you should
get to do all the fun stuff.
You should. I don't really know what the point of having a business account on TikTok is. Honestly, I really don't. Because like you said, you can't use the sounds and then you can't be in the creator fund, I don't think. So I'm not sure what the perks are to being a business on TikTok. So I'm on a creator account and I do all the fun trends and I think that's okay.
Yeah.
Maybe I should be a business account because I am a business. But then again, like I also do like a lot of tutorials. Like I'm not just showing up as my small business. I am showing up as more of like a teacher on TikTok. The one thing that did bum me out was TikTok invited me to do their like TikTok shop. So like you can sign up to like kind of tag your products in your videos. And then I found out that I was ineligible because I don't have a business account. But then I was like, it's fine.
Yeah.
I think I'd rather use the sounds anyways.
Yeah. At first, when I signed up, you could use all that. And then as TikTok grew and grew in popularity, they were like, oh, that's copyrighted. We can't have, you know, businesses use all these sounds. So some of my stuff ended up getting muted. But the only reason I signed up for a business account was so I could have the link to my web address right on there. But I think once you get a certain number of followers, you can do that anyway, right?
Correct. Yeah. Correct. Because I have mine linked. I have a link to my website on my profile. I think it's over 1,000.
Okay.
Don't quote me on that, but you can, for sure. And I got that feature pretty soon. So it has to be either over 1,000 or shortly after that followers is when they give you that feature.
I'm switching back. You sold me.
You should. You no, do it. Do it. Use those good sounds.
Yes. Now, are you in the TikTok Creator Fund?
I am.
That's awesome.
Yep. Yep. You're eligible at, I think it's 10K followers. Mm-hmm. So I signed up as soon as I could. It is not a lot of money, but it's something. I'm grateful to be a part of it. I think I get like 10 cents a day. It adds up eventually.
Sure, it does. Well, it's important to have different avenues to make money in your business too. So that passive income, Agreed. That's only going to grow and grow and grow. Because I'm in the Agreed. Creator fund for YouTube, and the same, it's not a lot. I don't make a lot of money off of it, but it's something, you know,
it's something. Yeah. And that's why I started actually posting to YouTube shorts, because apparently they're going to start monetizing those on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I started posting there. So maybe one day I'll get that money. But oh my God, I just read their requirements for the shorts. It's like 10 million views or something to get monetization. I was like, what?
Yeah.
Like, that's a lot.
You can't have your TikTok watermark on your, because they want it to be original content.
Yeah.
So
I saw that.
Tip, if you're repurposing stuff, make sure you take that TikTok watermark off.
I know. Yeah. I've tried to cash in on almost all of the creator funds that are available to me. There's one on Facebook now. There's one on Instagram. Yeah. So there's one on Instagram, which I kind of forfeited when I made my new account, but it's fine. There's one on Facebook. There was one on Pinterest and they got rid of it, which was very sad because I was really trying to get into that one, but I didn't get into it before they got rid of it. So there's creative funds everywhere, and it's something. It's nice to have a little bit of passive income.
Absolutely. Do you use Pinterest a lot?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I do. I recently started posting there because I learned about the creator fund, and apparently it was like really good money. So I was like, I'm trying to get on that. So, but like at the time, my account wasn't eligible because I didn't have enough followers and I didn't have enough saves. I think you had to have a certain amount of followers and you had to have a certain amount of saves. So I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. And I started posting all of my TikToks over to Pinterest, and oh my God, it's been like maybe like 5 months, and I grew my Pinterest account from like 300 followers, and I now have like a little bit over 2,000 followers. So I grew my account very much, and then they canceled the whole creator fund. And I was like, oh, man, what the heck? I did all this work, and then they just canceled the whole program. But I'm still posting there. I'm not sure how much traffic it actually brings to my website. I have a lot of activity on there for whatever reason. So I still post on there sometimes.
Yeah. I always forget about it. And then I'll go through and batch, like upload a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah. I do that too. Honestly, it's like, it's kind of like my last like platform that I think about. You know, I'm always like posting to TikTok and then I'm like, okay, go over to Instagram, and then that video will go to Facebook. And then Pinterest is always like the last one on the list, probably because I'm not getting paid for it.
Yeah.
So I typically will forget about it. And then like all of a sudden, you know, one day I'll be like, oh no. And I'll post a couple. I'm kind of the same way. I kind of forget about it. And then I'll post a few, and then I'll forget about it again, and then post a few. And I'm on there a lot looking for sewing patterns a lot, or like I use it in my real life for like recipes.
Absolutely.
I'm always on there looking for like dinner recipes, and then it's always showing me like free sewing patterns, and then I usually get like sidetracked on sewing patterns.
Yeah. You get sucked in, that's for sure.
Oh yeah. You really do.
Another thing I wanted to ask you about, I don't know what exactly it's called, but I saw you have a link to Amazon, and then there's products that you recommend. So if people click on those products and buy them, then you get a small like commission.
Yeah. So that is the Amazon storefront.
Yeah.
It's the part of the Amazon affiliate program. Basically, it's essentially what you said. So I have a storefront on Amazon that I fill with a bunch of stuff. Like I have different like categories, like sewing essentials and organization and other things that I recommend. And when people buy those from my storefront, then I do get a commission. But it's what's nice about it is that if they click on my storefront and then buy something else, like buy something else in their cart, I still get a commission from that.
Well, that's
so
nice.
It's kind of like a, yeah, it is really nice. So it doesn't have to be anything from my storefront. They just have to like click on my storefront first. And then maybe they look on things, maybe they change their mind, but then they buy something else on Amazon, I'll still get a commission from that. So it is really nice. And again, it's not a lot of money, but it is something. I think I get like $20 every quarter, you know, every 3 or 4 months I get $20, but
yeah,
you know, it's nice. It all matters. It all adds up. So
yeah. Well, Well, I know when people first started doing that, when that first came out, a lot of customers and consumers were worried that the price was going to go up. They were paying more by clicking through people's storefront, but that's not the case. It's the same price. You just get a small portion of the sale.
Yeah. Yeah. Correct. Yeah. Like it's, there's no cost to the actual consumer. It's just, I get a little bit of kickback if they click on my store. So it's nice. I like it.
What equipment do you recommend people who want to get started filming TikToks or doing TikTok lives?
I have this ring light that that you saw me drag in. and it's not great for just like functionality. Like it's great if you are kind of like standing up and talking straight into the camera, but as far as like what I'm doing, you know, like filming myself cutting and filming myself sewing, it's really not that useful for that. I have a weighted tripod that my phone goes on, which I really super recommend. I got it on Amazon and I can't remember the name now, but it's called a weighted desk tripod. So like the base is weighted and then like there's this like tripod arm that comes out. You can like flex it to like hold your phone, whatever you want. You could do like above angles, you could do like a side angle. It's really nice. So I would definitely recommend a good desktop tripod for sure. And honestly, other than that, in your phone and maybe some like editing software, I use InShot. The InShot app is really great. Other than that, like that's really all you need.
Yeah.
Truly. And honestly, like I did TikToks without the tripod too. It just really makes my life easier.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I've done the whole like propping it up on random objects thing. The tripod's just a little bit more convenient, but you can do it without it. Mm-hmm. You know, you just need your phone, some editing software, and really just the audacity to do it.
I sew in my basement and it's like a dungeon down there. And I don't know how I sewed without all the lights that I have down there now. It's crazy the difference. Yeah,
I sew in a dungeon as well. I'm also a basement dweller. But luckily, my husband, he made the room that I sew in because my sewing room was upstairs, but we live in a 3-bedroom. And when I had our son, he took my sewing space upstairs. So I got the boot downstairs. And so my husband had to make me a room down here. And he put in like the brightest overhead lights ever for me. So luckily I'm good with just my lights. And then I also brighten up my TikToks in like post, you know, in like the editing.
Oh yeah.
I always have like a bright filter always on my videos because they are still dark. And luckily we made my sewing room in the spot of the house that has windows. Mm-hmm. They're not real windows. They're like those block windows that you have in basements, you know?
Yeah.
So I still do get some natural light down there. Not a whole lot, but I do get some.
How do you take your product photos?
Oh, product photos. Man.
That's the worst, right?
It really is. If I could just make things and then like ship them somewhere and have someone else take my photos, I would love that. Maybe one day. It's so time consuming. So typically what I do is I will take them upstairs because our living room actually has the most beautiful natural light. We have just in our living room, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 windows. And like, they're almost all of them are like floor to ceiling windows. So there's just like this beautiful natural light. I do prefer natural light in my product photos because I just can't figure out artificial light. I've tried the whole like set up with the lights and the umbrellas, and I just can't get it to work for me. So I will wait for a really sunny day and I'll take my stuff upstairs and I will set them out usually on something white, or I have like a big cardboard, kind of like a trifold, like a project board. Mm-hmm. And I kind of just set that up and I use my iPhone. I had a really nice camera and I actually sold it because I didn't know how to use it for starters. I didn't know how to make the most of it. And so I've always just felt more comfortable taking them on my phone. And the quality on iPhones, it's really incredible how nice the quality of photos that the iPhone will take. So I use my phone and the natural light that's in my living room and a white poster board. And I just snap all different angles until I find one or two that I'm happy with. Mm-hmm. And my camera roll is full of photos. It's just full of photos. I was actually just deleting some today because my phone was yelling at me about storage. And, yeah. I think there's more photos of, you know, my products than my children, truly.
And filming all the videos takes up a lot of space on your phone too.
Oh my goodness. When I am filming a TikTok, I was filming one today because I made the jacket that I'm wearing. And so I was making a video for it and it was yelling at me that I wasn't allowed to record anymore because I didn't have enough storage. This is like a thing that happens every time I record a video is I always have to go through my phone and think of like what products I no longer sell and then like look for them and delete them. And It's a process.
Yeah, same. Do you sew using an industrial sewing machine?
I do. Yeah. Yes. I love it so much. It is my favorite thing. I'm working on a Juki DU1181N and it's my favorite thing. I don't know how I sewed without this machine. It is amazing. I think I've been working on it for about 2 years now. It is the main machine I work on and I love it so much. It sews so smoothly. It like anything, any type of thickness that I put through it, I've never had it jam on me. I've never had it complain about, you know, like too many layers. It's so nice to know that I can essentially pick almost any pattern and be able to sew it with ease. It's just so nice.
And was there a learning curve when you switched to an industrial sewing machine?
A little bit. They're not threaded too differently. I mean, there's like a few extra steps in there, but it's not like anything too confusing. It's really fine. I think the biggest learning curve, honestly, is getting used to how fast it goes. Like, it's intimidating how quickly the needle goes when you just like lightly tap on the pedal. I still have my machine cranked all the way to the slowest it can go because it is scary.
Yeah.
There's like a little dial on the motor that you can change the speed. And it goes to a speed that I can't even fathom anyone sewing on that, like using that speed. I cranked it all the way up once just to see how fast it could go. And I was like, how would you even sew on that speed? Like, that's insane. I have it down pretty low still because it's very intimidating with the quickness. I think that was the biggest learning curve for me was just the speed and kind of learning to be comfortable with how quick it does go and, you know, learning what type of speed that I want and like how to press the pedal so that it doesn't take off. That was really it. It didn't take too long to get used to either. I mean, if anybody is like listening and they're on the cusp of like, should I or shouldn't I, do it.
Do it.
Do it. I've never regretted that purchase. Not once. Just go for it. And you'll figure it out really super easy. It's not bad at all. Just turn it down just to slow speed.
Yeah. Do you teach any in-person sewing classes?
I don't, but I'm open to it. I mean, I really don't honestly have the space for it right now. If maybe if I had a studio, which would be awesome. I am thinking about opening a Patreon. Are you familiar with Patreon?
I've heard of it, but I don't really know anything about it.
It's like a subscription-based content. So it's kind of like a platform like YouTube or TikTok or anything where you can just post videos and also photos, but people have to like subscribe to your channel type of thing and they have to like pay for it. But I thought that would be a really good opportunity for me to do lessons on sewing, like personal one-on-one lessons. And that's kind of like in the works. So I have been thinking about doing that and kind of doing like online sewing classes.
Oh, that would be great. You were on another podcast. Tell me about that. And how did that go?
It went really well. So it is the Social Hour podcast, and then Social is spelled S-E-W. It is another sewing podcast. I met this girl through TikTok. I actually made one of her patterns and it was a diaper clutch for my friend. And the video like really took off on TikTok. I got a lot of like mean comments about that one.
Mean?
Really silly.
Why?
Yeah. Oh my God. That was like the day I thought I was going to be canceled on TikTok because like I made this video. It was just really lighthearted. And I was talking about how like I like to make my friends handmade gifts for their baby showers instead of looking at their registry. And people, they got really mad.
I remember this now. Yeah.
Yeah, they got really mad, really mad. And I was like, oh boy, I have triggered a lot of people unintentionally. Like, I'm not the person to start drama, you know, intentionally, but I did. I did start a lot of drama unintentionally. But anyways, we kind of met through that whole situation because it was her pattern that I had tagged in not that video, but a subsequent video talking about the pattern that I used because people were asking for it. And then we started talking and she's now like one of my TikTok friends that we chat every once in a while. And she started a podcast and she was like, I want you to be on my podcast. And I was like, that's really cool. So we did that. I think it was probably like a couple months ago at this point, but it went really well. And it's a really fun podcast. They kind of do the similar to you as they talk about sewing and they have like different sewists on. So it was really fun.
That's great. I have a lot of sewists that listen. So I definitely wanted to plug that because we could all use some more fun podcasts in our lives, right?
Right? So fun.
What are your goals for 2023?
I would really like to make a lot more purses than I do. I've been really, really interested in making a lot more like bigger bags. And I haven't done it yet. And I think I'm nervous because they would be pricey. It's so hard for me to like make things that I think maybe would sit in my shop for a little bit because they're expensive, you know, like bigger bags and made. Fabric is getting really expensive. There's been a ton of inflation around materials recently. It's a scary move for me because I'm just worried that they're going to be too expensive for people to want to buy. I don't know. It's a weird like imposter syndrome type of thing that's happening in my brain, I think. But I would like to try to incorporate a lot more purses. I feel really drawn to bigger items than I have been making. I feel like I have a little bit more to give as far as my sewing potential. Like, I don't feel like I have really kind of like reached my max of like what I can do yet, or like what if people have seen from me yet. So I would really like to make these like bigger purses. And I think I might add those to my shop sometime this year. And I would really love to grow my TikTok to a place where I can start getting some brand deals, you know, like promoting people's brands for them. I think that'd be a really nice thing to incorporate. The older that I'm getting and the older that my kids are getting, I'm thinking more about passive income and I'm thinking more about, you know, like realistically, how long can I be only just sewing? You know, how long can I just be making money from just actually making things from my hands? Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I'm making myself sound like I'm super old and I'm not. I feel like I have a long ways until arthritis hits, but still, like, you know.
Right. We don't want to speed it up.
No, but like, there's going to be a point where like, I can't sew as much, you know? So I feel like joining TikTok and having the following that I do has really opened my eyes to the potential that TikTok holds in regards to passive income. I'm at 32,000 followers now on TikTok. And so like, I feel like with the amount of growth that I'm seeing, I think it's really possible.
Yeah,
to make that happen. I feel like those are my two main things is, you know, the bigger and better purses, and then also maybe growing my account a little bit more.
Well, we are getting near the end of the podcast, and that means fun fact time. Do you have your random fun fact for me?
I do. So a little backstory. My bestseller, my like very, very bestseller is a like boxy, like rectangle makeup bag. And I have made so many of those. It is ridiculous. And typically what you will see them called are DOP kits, D-O-P-P kits. And I never knew what DOP meant. So I looked it up for my fun fact. So a DOP kit acquired its name from a German leather goods maker named Charles Doplett, an immigrant to the United States. And he invented the toiletry case with the help of his nephew in 1919.
That is awesome.
So that is where the whole DOP kit name for like a toiletry bag came from. which I never knew that.
Yeah, very cool. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast this evening.
Thank you so much for having me. I had a blast.
I had an absolute blast too. I'm so glad to finally talk to you in person.
Yeah, you too.
All right. Have a good night. I'll talk to you later.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Handmade with Heart podcast. Don't forget to follow Nicole at Crimson and Scarlet, and you can find me at Scrappy Stitch and the Handmade with Heart podcast.